SpursCast, episode 595. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the SpursCast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs writer Aaron Million. In this episode, Aaron and I will discuss the Spurs' last two games, their cold shooting from three, and we'll highlight DeJounte Murray's play so far this season. Let's go ahead and get started. Aaron, how you doing?
Dude, really, really awesome, man. Can't thank you enough for bringing me up to the Big Boy podcast. We just launched the Texas Half Court Trap, covering college basketball, the local teams, UTSA, Texas State, UIW. So getting the call from the big leagues, man. Yeah, dipped my feet in the podcast bowl. So I really appreciate you for having me.
Welcome, welcome. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, you know, Aaron did join us Spurscast listeners last season during the season as a writer. So if you know, you know, check out his work, man, on ProjectSpurs.com.
Coming up on the coming up on the year anniversary. Yeah, that's pretty fun. I totally forgot about that. That's cool.
Yeah, so we'll definitely you know try to put you here in the rotation with some of our other writers that we have, because the Spurscast listeners know we usually bring on each writer from our site each week. All right, so Spurscast listeners, as you all know, we had just launched an episode this past weekend, Michael DeLeon and I. So there hasn't been that many games since then. There's only been two games, and the Spurs went 1-1 in these last two games. So let's go ahead and do a quick little review of what happened. The latest news: Monday they got a pretty good win, 21 point win against the Portland Trailblazers in Portland. We know that CJ McCollum had just missed that game for the Blazers, so the Spurs got a pretty comfortable win there. I remember all four of the vets, Patty Mills, Rudy Gay, LaMarcus Aldridge, and DeMar DeRozan, they all had over 20 points in that game. Then on Wednesday, I mean, this is why, you really want to look at the record as a whole rather than just one game, because the Spurs looked terrible on Wednesday. They got demolished by the Warriors by 22 points. They were down by 25 as many points as that during the game. Steph just basically carved them up. I mean, he just got whatever he wanted. Andrew Wiggins played well. Kelly Oubre Jr., Draymond Green, James Wiseman was just getting alley-oop after alley-oop. So yeah, we don't want to look too much at just that one game, because it does look really bad. Because I mean, coming off that Blazers win, it was really good. Spurs look like a dominant team.
Exactly.
So, Aaron, through 15 games, they are 8-7. A year ago, they were 5-10 at this time. So they have shown some improvement. And, let's just say that they executed well in every game this year, in the final minute. They could actually be 12-3 at best case scenario. Well, let's just say that they didn't execute well. Well, then they could be 4-11. Exactly. So I think that the best case scenario is the fact that it was a bad loss against the Warriors, but it's only their third one where they've really been out of it. And we could just tell that there's only been three games where they had no chance. That was the first game against the Lakers, the blowout by the Jazz, to the Jazz. And then now this Warriors game. So kind of just tell me some of your thoughts on, first of all, these last two games, but then also just kind of your thoughts on this team, since this is your first time joining the Spurscast.
Yeah, man. It's kind of funny that last game last night. I'm kind of glad we're not going to go too much into it, because I honestly, man, those late ones over in the West Coast couldn't do it, especially after that first half, man. I'm glad I gave up on that one. What I couldn't believe is that Steph Curry just, he's carving us up. Like you said, it seems to me like the Spurs still have issues getting around those Golden State double screens. The backside screens are still giving them issues. Golden State might not be the team that they used to be, but I mean, it's still mostly the same system. You see James Wiseman, he's just, getting everything. He's just dump off passes left and right. I think at one point it's just like, you got to find whoever is guarding Wiseman, draw him out off some, penetration, and you just dump it off to him, man. I think it was, 20 points in this last game. Their shooting was just, 4 of 33 in that Golden State game. That's really tough. Let's definitely, Call it, an aberration, maybe, one of the few games that they've been out of it completely, like you said. But at the same time, my biggest issue with this team, and maybe it's a little bit of a carryover from last season, is they don't really keep that same consistency of, playing the same style of ball, no matter who your opponent is. Sometimes they play up to their opponent, they get a great win, and we're all excited and we're believing. And, sometimes they'll get, they'll play down to a lesser team, the Golden State Warriors, that they could have easily gone on. Kept that win streak going up to three games, and instead you trip, and now you're trying to bounce back at home against Dallas tomorrow night. So I mean, it's going to be pretty interesting to see. I personally like the regional matchups too, with both Luka. I cover just about every team in Texas with Sport Radar, so I've gotten to see Dallas a little bit. I'm kind of fingers crossed maybe that we can slow down Luka a little bit. It seems like every major guy has their career night against the Spurs, man. Steph Curry. Paul Pierce is saying Curry for MVP today on the jump. I'm like, dude, get out of here, man. He just played the Spurs. Like, it's not, you can't go all in on that. But I swear, man, even going back to last season, it just feels like, the best player on that team, they end up going off. Dame, I think, at 35 on the MLK Day game as well. So, I mean, maybe it's, the pops old adage of you know, let their star player go and try and shut down the other guys. But I mean, yeah, Golden State, that's just a trip up game. Let's just kind of wipe that from our memory and keep going, hopefully.
Yeah, I remember watching you right in the first quarter, and I was like, one of the Spurs, from just my takeaway, one of the biggest issues with this team, I know they've gotten better defensively, but I really feel like they have really good one-on-one defenders. You talk about Keldon, you know, DeJounte Murray, Lonnie Walker, et cetera. But when you watch a lot of their mistakes, a lot of times it's because their team communication. That's one of their areas that they're still working on. I've talked about that multiple times. And so this is a team that, like you mentioned, does a lot of backdoor cuts, backdoor passes, and I just knew they were just going to carve them up. I mean, also their pick and roll defense has been an issue all year. And so when you have a guy like Steph just kind of walking into the paint and doing whatever he wants, whether it's scoring or dishing to his teammates, I mean, that was going to be an issue, and you could just see it right there. I agree with you, though. I mean, the Warriors were only favored by 1 point, so there wasn't a reason for the Spurs to get blown out like this. It was just more so, like not you mentioned, all. Where, you know, San Antonio just, their energy is just not there in certain games. Like you mentioned, you know, sometimes they do play down. You know, they could get a win against the Clippers or Lakers, and all of a sudden, you know, they struggle against the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's like, that's just exactly what happens. Man. And, you know, So, but like I said, I wanted to really, provide some context and say, you know, they are 8-7. I know that, you know, that loss looked really bad, but, you know, overall, they really have been in all of these games. So let's go ahead and transition to our second topic. Oh, do you want to say something? Go
ahead. Yeah. You know, you're saying, you know, the record, they're 6-2 on the road. So, I mean, it almost seems like maybe, you know, I understand COVID, it limited, you know, fan capacity in some of these games. AT&T Center, we're still trying to get people in there. But, you know, the Spurs aren't one of those teams that, you know, maybe it's like a college team that tries to turn it on and off. It seems like the Spurs have been built off of consistency. So I think a lot of, you know, the fan base, as well as, you know, us as well, we're a little taken aback when we see this kind of inconsistency back and forth, man. It really is kind of frustrating seeing Wiseman go off on Aldridge. I mean, Aldridge, one thing that's one observation I had as well is that, you know, he's not even in the top five rebounders on the team, man. That's really interesting as our big guy. You know, Jakob Poeltl is, you know, really doing it all from the post. If you want to get into Aldridge as well, but, you know, 13.5 a game, 4.6 rebounds through 12 games. That's not going to cut it as much when you're one of the only big guys that the Spurs have.
Yeah, no, we can actually talk about him. So I didn't put him on the agenda to talk about, but because I had talked about him just recently, just a few days ago, because I mean, Jakob has been playing. So because Jakob recently had a really good game coming into the weekend.
Right.
And so, I talked to Mike about that over the weekend. I was like, you know, we were talking about Jakob. We're like, you know, give LaMarcus some time. He's only played in 10 games. You know, he has been dealing with some injuries. He missed all the bubble, et cetera. Right. But, man, again, 4 points. I mean, oh, no, first of all, let's go back to Monday when he had against the Blazers. He had, what, 22? Remember, he had, and I think he had 20 from mid-range. 20 points
from
mid-range.
Dude, him and Rudy Gay combined for 43 points. And so you're loving it. And then the very next game, you know, they're only averaging 22.5 combined.
Exactly. And this is his third game, though, of 4 points. I mean, just 4 points. And so, you know, Mike and I talked about this, how, you know, he's it's going to be harder for him now because DeJounte is becoming more aggressive in terms of, you know, whether it's scoring or moving the ball. You got Keldon Johnson there attacking the rim nonstop. You got Lonnie Walker now as a presence as well in that offense. So he's almost been demoted to like the fourth or third or fifth option. But like he needs to also assert himself and get himself involved. Now, I know that, see, a lot of what they did against the Blazers was just picking on Cantor. And his Cantor is a terrible defender. They were just, you know, he couldn't recover onto Aldridge. On those pick and pops, so Aldridge was just getting shot after shot. But now here you get an athletic big like Wiseman who can, you know, move around his feet and move around. You got Draymond Green, you know, helping out. That's a harder team to get those nice shots against. And so all of a sudden, you know, 4 points. You know how, you know, they don't post him up anymore at this point. And he's kind of made some comments about that in some of the post game interviews. But then also, you know, where else does he get his scoring? I know he's good at the mid range. He's shooting over 50%. That's a good thing. But I mean, we're going to talk about this in a little bit. He just doesn't have that 3-point shot at all. So what do you think about Aldridge in terms of just going forward?
Yeah, and, you know, going back to it too, Wiseman might have been the worst guy to even put him against because these young guys almost run him off the court sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, you know, especially, you know, going back to the last episode as well. It is, you know, an early season. He is coming off of some stuff. So hopefully it's more conditioning and more of it's maybe a mental thing as opposed to like an actual problem with the offense, God forbid. You know, I like where he stands, you know, in our offense as well. Being as a number five, though, he needs to be the number two. I think he should be the number one, and DeMar is number two. But, you know, DeMar always does this dump-off pass kind of midway through a shot where he'll just kind of dump it off somebody. And Aldridge needs to be that guy. I'm going to coin this. I'm going to copyright it. I call it the DeManu Ginobili pass. Man, I mean, it's just as wild. He's always halfway through a shot.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Somebody. I love that. I thought him and Aldridge would always be perfect. I think one of the first articles I ever wrote for Project Spurs was about how they could still compete. So I love that twosome. I really do. I still believe in Aldridge. I'm not like one of the, you know, I'm not going to placate the toxic fan base. You know, I'm not going to do any of that trade stuff. I really believe in the team. I believe in the roster that we have right now. I'm gonna jump on the, you know, wait and see boat in terms of Aldridge. I'm always gonna root, but yeah, I definitely think the jury's still out on that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I'm just more, you know me, I'm like more analytical. So when I see Jakob's like per 36 numbers just skyrocketing compared to Aldridge, it's like,
literally,
that's the thing is like, you know, defensively, you know, Jakob's, you know, at this point, you have to say, you know, just the numbers back it up. I mean, Jakob's a better defender at this point. It's just what it is. And so that's why if you do have Aldridge starting still and you have him as one of your core pieces, well, then it's mostly because he's giving you more something more dynamic on offense. But right now, you know, that's in and out in terms of the production there. Let's go ahead and shift on to our second topic. And, you know, I kind of addressed this over the week on Mike, and I was kind of just waiting to see if things got better, and it's the Spurs' shot from three. All of a sudden, it's kind of fallen off. I know that they shot really well against the Blazers. They shot like 40 or 50% of that one game. But aside from that, before that, they were struggling. They had had four games of shooting below 30%, and then they had an abysmal night against the Warriors from downtown. They shot 12%, just 12% for 33. So let's go ahead. I want to just kind of get your take on their 3-point shooting. Let's first look at some of the team stats. You know, we already know they don't take a lot of threes. 31 attempts per game, which is 26th in the league. Their accuracy has dropped. At one point, they were in the top 10. Then they were about league average. Now, all of a sudden, they fall into 20th at 35%, 35.5%. We can tell that the three is a big reason, a big part of whether they win or lose. When they win games, they're shooting almost 40% from three. However, when they lose, they're shooting about 30%, 29.5%. So that's a big part of it. Coach Pop in this game, you know, against the Warriors, he said, if you shoot 4-33 from three, your defense better be perfect. And
I
we kind of
quote.
Yes, it is a really good quote, because that's actually a really good portrait of what happened against the Rockets and the Wolves, where the Spurs did shoot 30% from three, but they had excellent defense in both of those games. And so they actually split both of those games. You know, they won one, they lost one, which, again, you can have a chance if you have good defense. Against the Warriors, they didn't have good defense. So you saw what happened. If you can't shoot threes and you play terrible defense, you're going to get blown out. Yeah. And so that's a case where, you know, you have to see if this is going to be, if this is real or is just a bad stretch for them. I really dug into this. This is the first time today that I wanted to dig into their wide open threes. And I was really curious to see what they're shooting there.
That was such a good observation.
Yeah. And so they're getting 14.7 wide open threes per game, which is a very low number, 27th in the league. They're only shooting 38.6% on wide open threes, which is 20th. So that's not, you know, I really feel like if you're getting wide open threes, you should be shooting 40% or better. And that's kind
that's
of my, where
offense.
I get it.
That's the Spurs offense that we've known and loved. You know, they're not going to shoot a three unless it's a great shot. You play good shot, great shot. You might have a good look. You're always going to pass to the better one. Man, I love that one tweet you had earlier about how I think you said they dropped just two percentage points in one game.
Yeah, 37 to 35.
That's insane. I've never seen anything like that. I was just like, you know, I'm an analytics guy myself with Sport Radar, so I was just like, you know, that makes no sense. Just in one game to be dropping, you know, percentage wise, are we going to go up 2 percentages in one game? That doesn't sound realistic, right?
Yeah. So, and I know people were tweeting me asking me, you know, what's the last time they shot 4-33 or like just, you know, mid 4-3s, and I didn't want to look that up because I don't know how far they made some history right there with that shooting. And then something else to note is that 47% of their threes are wide open, so they're not even getting over half their threes that are wide open. I know that on defense, they give the opponent over half their threes that are wide open. 55% of the opponent threes are wide open. And then overall, this was an issue for them last season, was the 3-point line, their scoring battle there. And they are losing that battle now by 63 points when you throw in what happened against the Warriors recently. So now let's really dive into some of the players here. What I've done is I've kind of picked apart. I went through all the attempts and I put in who makes the biggest percentage of their gap from three. And so there's really, when I look at it, there's about one, two, three, five players who really that take up 10% or more of their threes. So the first player is Patty Mills. 22% of their threes come from Patty. He's shooting well, 43% overall, 43% on wide open threes. So Patty's okay. You know, he can have some cold nights.
Man, Patty looks amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
Lately.
Lonnie Walker the fourth has been stable. 15%. He takes responsibility for 15% of their threes overall, and he's shooting well as well. 30% from three overall, and then 44% from wide open. So you leave Lonnie wide open, you're going to pay for it as a defense. Rudy Gay has had some trouble here, so I know that I've seen him be a player who kind of fluctuates in terms of his percentage and his accuracy. So he accounts for 15% of the team threes, just like Lonnie. But overall, his 3-point shot is at 35%, and then his wide open threes at 37%, which is still good number, but again, like I mentioned, you want to be over 40%. So Rudy's one of the players that I've kind of highlighted there that is struggling his wide open three. DeJounte Murray, who we're going to give some praise to in a little bit, he's going to be our last topic there. But in terms of his 3-point shot, that's kind of, you know, struggling a little bit right now. He's responsible for 11% of the team threes. He's shooting just overall 30% from three, from wide open three, 35%. So again, DeJounte's having trouble there. And then the last player is Keldon Johnson. He's accounting for 10% of their 3-point attempts. And he's shooting overall 35%. You know, not bad for Keldon, then and then wide open again, 35% as well. So what are some of your thoughts on their 3-point shooting in terms of these five guys, because these are the pretty much the players who are counting for their threes.
Right. Yeah. That's a large percentage of their offense right there. I love Lonnie Walker. That's what jumped out to me first, is that he's actually stretching the floor a little bit. Hopefully, you know, the game is slowing down for him. He's so athletic that if he gets that shot going, I know 38% isn't, you know, it's not favorable, but he's good there. He's working with it. It's definitely workable. And for him to get that shot going, stretch the defense, blow by guys, that's amazing. Patty Mills, I don't know what else to say about the 32-year-old vet, man. I mean, he's like the longest tenured Spur. He's the guy now. I think we're all really sitting around wondering, is his jersey going up? His jersey's probably going up at this point. Off of the, you know, the tenure, at least, at the very least. He's one of the longest tenured Spurs, I think, just total, as just in franchise as well. You know, Keldon Johnson, I don't really think he needs to be taking that much. That was one thing that, you know, stood out to me a little bit, too. I was like, you know, 10%, he really needs to hang out around there. He's another guy like Lonnie. Well, you know, you want that shot to maybe add to your game and, you know, add an aspect to it. But you don't need to rely on that, especially the Spurs, one of the last teams that are going to rely on threes to begin with. So Keldon really, I mean, he doesn't need to be doing that. Murray, though, is interesting to me because DeJounte Murray is, you know, he's coming into his own and, he gets a little bit of a setback. And I don't know why, man. I can't engage with some fans on Twitter. It's like everyone is not on the trading block, man. They're young guys. You know, it's kind of crazy. We're getting in that age where we're around the same age or older than these guys. And you have to remember that, you know, he got handed the keys to the offense. And it's one of the most prolific offenses in the NBA. He's doing all right, especially playing defense. You know, even when he's having a bad game, you know, that Warriors game, he got that steal and a dunk. You know, that's always something that'll get you right back into it, forces Steve Kerr to call a timeout. You know, they try and cut the lead. It's at least something. Yeah. He's doing at least something. But in terms of, you know, three point percentage, I'm not too worried about DeJounte Murray. If anything, I would say, you know, same with Keldon. You need to be shooting even less threes than that. I know that's almost, you know, taboo to say with the Spurs of don't take threes, but these are two guys that don't really need to be doing that. I know Aldridge just tried to add that to his game a little bit. I know Lowes is even stepping up a little bit and just trying to facilitate the offense and get moving as well. So, I mean, I don't really think your guards are the ones that need to be putting up those threes. I do like, you know, that they are open. You know, the stat about the open, wide open threes for the Spurs is incredible. I think they should always be shooting 50% of the threes should be wide open. You just have to get that percentage up. I don't know if it's, you know, a lot of these teams are saying too, you know, with the bubble and these closed arenas, it's a shooter's gym. You would think that, you know, less fans, less stuff, you know, what is it? Depth perception even. A lot of these guys' numbers in the bubble were crazy. It didn't translate to the Spurs.
No.
We're going back in our arenas. It's not translating to the Spurs. I don't know if it's just that they don't want to shoot the three or if they can't. I don't think it's a can't thing, but we've been asking this question for about two or three seasons now.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, they don't really have that insurance anymore of Marco Bellinelli or Bryn Forbes anymore. Like, you know, those two players are gone now. And they made up a huge chunk, you know, along with Patty of the threes from last year. Now, one positive is that they are going to eventually get Derek White back. And, you know, and then just talking about some other players who do take some threes. Aldridge, you know, 9% of the team shots from three come from him. He's struggling, you know, like you mentioned, 25% from three right now, 30% from wide open three. So at this point, it's more valuable for him to just take that mid range because he shoots over 55%. So it's just a better shot for him.
If you're going to miss it, then you might as well just step in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Devin Vassell, you know, a rookie is actually shooting very well. He's only accounting for 7% of their 3-point attempts, 35% from three, 45% from wide open threes. So you leave Devin open, whew, you're going to pay for it. And then DeRozan, you know, it doesn't take him that much like we saw early on in the first few weeks of the season. Just 6% of the team shots from three come from him. He's making about 33% overall and then 42% wide open. But, you know, I don't really count DeMar as part of that group that takes a lot of threes. So what do you not attribute this to, but I guess I should ask you, where do you see this team in terms of, let's say even when Derek White gets back, where are they in terms of their, in terms of being in their accuracy? Where do you think they're at? Like what range?
So I think they slid down to eighth last night, if I'm correct, right? They slid from fifth to eighth. I think they're still a playoff hunting team, especially if we can get these 3 points up. That last thing I want to touch on with DeMar though, I mean, his shot selection, I think has always fit the Spurs offense. He's always been a high efficiency shooter. Even his 3 points, I mean, maybe he's not taking that many. They're still high efficiency. You can't bother. You can't really complain about that. I think personally the Spurs can make a run of the playoffs. I thought they could have made a run of the playoffs last season. I think this streak, there's no better time to start over and start a new one, especially where we're at right now. I know the West is tough. I know, especially the way things are going, you know, game to game, you know, playing down to your opponent, playing up to your opponent. If you're playing all these high intensity Western Conference games, hopefully they play their energy up to that. And, you know, they stay in that kind of bubble Spurs mentality. We loved what they did in the bubble those last eight games. I really appreciated it. I think a lot of fans got us excited for it. And, you know, at the same time, you know, everybody is getting better. So what is your way to adapt? What is your way to improve in the offseason? It's not so much about Aldridge getting back and getting rehabbed and getting back to where he is. You got to get better. We have to get better as you know, a team overall, just shooting wise. That's one improvement. On the defensive end, man, it's the Spurs. It's the Spurs defense. You're absolutely right. It looks more like a team communicating issue as opposed to, you know, the athleticism. These guys are lanky, young, fresh legs. Lonnie, DeJounte, you know, DeMar can even still get after it on defense. Yeah. I really think, you know, we should be one of the better defensive teams in the league. Three-point shooting, you know, mid-range game shooting. If we can just keep, you know, our mid-range where we're at, slightly improve on the three, we're a playoff team for sure. There's very real minute adjustments that they need to make to be right where we were last season or even past where we can get that and, you know, back to where, you know, I think what Spurs fans are used to in terms of the style of ball.
Yeah, as far as their accuracy, where they're going to end up, you know, for the season, you know, I'm still kind of waiting. It's only been 15 games, like we mentioned. I want to see what it looks like for like 30 or 40 games, and that's kind of where we know exactly what they are, the players and the team. And I think that it goes back to that Coach Pop quote, you know, where they show, you know, if you're going to struggle from three as a team, then you got to be able to play good defense. And so they were able to show that against the Rockets and Wolves, like I mentioned. But, you know, that game against the Warriors, you don't play good defense in one game, and that's it. You're going to get blown out if you're not making three. So again, we'll kind of wait and see what happens. And one other player who's coming back eventually down the road is Derek White. You know, he's a good three-point shooter. He's a solid three-point shooter.
Great defensive guy too,
And he'll help out in terms of taking some of those threes, you know, off the pressure of like Murray and LaMarcus and Keldon Johnson.
Right.
Let's go ahead and close our last topic here. And I want to talk about DeJounte Murray just because, you know, it's hard when they come off a blowout loss. It's hard to talk about anything positive, you know, from the team.
Positive.
Yeah. Had it been the game after the Blazers, I would have had so much more, you know, positive to talk about. But, you know, all of a sudden, just to be recording on this evening, on a Thursday evening. Anyway, DeJounte, like you mentioned earlier, he did play well despite the loss, you know. And so I kind of want to talk about him, just kind of what he's doing this year. I know we've mentioned here on the Spurscast several times. That's how good of a year he's having, where we're talking about almost week after week. So let's go ahead and dig into some of his stats and kind of just, and I want to get your thoughts on him. Base stats, you know, 15.8 points per game, which is second on the team behind only DeRozan, 45% shooting overall, 2.1 free throw attempts, which is third on the team behind DeRozan and Keldon, 7.3 rebounds per game, which is first on the team. Although Keldon's given him a lot of competition there for being the leading rebounder.
I couldn't believe that, man. I triple checked that so many times. I just knew I was off or on a split or a PER or per 36, you know.
Yeah.
I was just, what is that?
It's wild. Like every day after the day after a game, I come home and I crunch my numbers and I plug them in. And sometimes Keldon actually takes the lead. Sometimes Keldon actually takes the lead in terms of total rebounds. But right now, Murray is first. 5.5 assists, second on the team, you know, only behind DeRozan. 1.8 turnovers, which is second. That's something everybody's been talking about, how he doesn't turn the ball over that much compared to the number of assists he's getting. 32.5 minutes. So what I did was I just wanted to say, you know, who else is putting up in the NBA as a whole stat line similar to DeJounte? So I did on points, rebounds and assists and steals, those four categories, and it was only DeJounte, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Nikola Jokic. Three players. So then when you show the fact that DeJounte doesn't turn the ball over, you know, less than two times a game, Jokic and Giannis fall out, and DeJounte's in his own category. So, you know, it does show that he's putting up some numbers right now, you know, that are in a category of his own. As far as his offense, we've kind of talked about his three-point shot, but the rest of his offense, I think one of the biggest areas where he's really improved, and you've seen him sustain this all year now, is his ability to attack the rim. He's getting there. 31% of his shots are coming from the restricted area. That's the closest area to the basket, which is second on the team, only behind Keldon. 24% of his shots come from three. We mentioned already that about how he's struggling from there. 23% of his shots come from that non-restricted area, that little floater range, and then 22% of his shots from mid-range. So, you know, he's saving mid-range for last at this point, which is, you know, even though it's his bread and butter shot, he's actually only going to it if he really needs to. He's shooting very well still at this point, 66% of the restricted area, 30% from three, like we mentioned, 34% from the non-restricted area, which is that floater range, and then 45% from mid-range. So what have you just thought about his shot so far in terms of just his shot selection?
Yeah, man, absolutely. I love that player comp too with Giannis and Jokic too, because he's the only guard doing that. He's definitely the only guard in the NBA going to do it. I mean, Russell Westbrook, we're still trying to figure out what's even going on with the Wizards, but I've always had that player comp of DeJounte Murray, Russell Westbrook. Even Russell Westbrook when he was at UCLA. That's always been DeJounte Murray's game. He's always been able to get to the rim, even before the ACL injury. He still has that same explosiveness. That was one of our biggest concerns that year. I mean, he's there. You'd be hard-pressed to even remember that he was out for a full year. So in terms of his game improving, he's coming into himself, coming into his body, you know, he's with clutch management now too, so I'm sure there's a little bit of that going on with it as well. But yeah, no, man, I think that's always been his game. He's definitely facilitating it more. Him and I think it's him and DeMar, they combined for, 33 assists? Yeah, or 11 each. I mean, that's insane the other night against Portland. So that's great. I mean, that's definitely something he needs to, you know, always keep going with, especially when you know Jokic and Giannis, they're not initiating the offense. They're not the point guard the way DeJounte Murray usually gets the ball rolling. I know the Spurs are a very assist driven team, but he's bringing the ball up himself. But yeah, in terms of that, man, getting to the hoop, that's always been it. He needs to keep doing that. Rely on that. That's your bread and butter. Your mid range, I get it. And you know, the three point, we've already had that conversation as well. But that's in terms of improving or just constantly taking that step up, he's still getting better. Imagine where he'll be at the end of the season or even in the bubble to now. I think there's an improvement. There's a significant improvement. He's been in the gym.
Yeah. And one of the areas though, that I think is really shown improvement is just his finishing. I really feel like in years past, he's had trouble finishing around the rim. And so you see it now, he's making 66% of his shots that are at the closest area to the basket. And then you see him, how he's driving the ball a little bit more now. He's second on the team in drives, only behind DeRozan. Anytime he takes a drive, there's a 47% chance he's going to shoot the ball. There's a 45% chance he's going to pass it. And 4% chance he gets to the line. So he doesn't get to the line that much, which we noted that.
Right.
But this is really incredible. Just a 2% chance that he's even going to turn it over on a drive. So again, it shows that he's taking care of the ball.
That's incredible.
And you made that Russell Westbrook comparison earlier. And you know, that's a player also that I saw as far as DeJounte molding his game after. But Russ turns it over a lot. Yeah. And that's the thing, is DeJounte's done a really good job of not turning it over. And then one of the things that makes DeJounte really unique is the defensive stats as well. You know, he's a really good defender. He is a second in the past. He was a second All-NBA level defender. So let's look at some of his defensive stats. Right now, he has 50 deflections, which is first on the team, on the Spurs team, but fourth overall in the league in terms of total number of deflections. And he leads the team with 22 steals. I've just noticed some players that have been his primary matchup that Pops, you know, had him guard. Mm-hmm. Ja Morant, D'Angelo Russell twice, Dame Lillard, like we mentioned the other night, and then Steph Curry, but even though that Curry one doesn't look very good for any of those Spurs players. So let's not mention that, Steph. And then as a secondary defender, you know, when it's not Lonnie or Kelton getting the other primary matchups, he's guarded players like Kyle Lowry and Donovan Mitchell as well. So what do you want to say about his defense? And then also the fact that he's on the rebounds. End. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a guard driven league. To even have a guy that can match up on those guys and not get just exposed, that's incredible. So to have a guy that matches up well against them, you know, slows down their offense, actually impedes their momentum at times. You know, DJ, man, I love that. What was it last season too, where he got in a little tiff with Harden when he was still in Houston? He has that dog mentality, man. You are not going to go off on him. He's going to take it personally. He doesn't need to score the ball to influence the game and affect, you know, the outcome of games. When he does that, it usually benefits the Spurs. But even when his offense isn't going, his defense is one consistent thing that he has always improved on. It's constant growth, constant acceleration. You know, I love where he's going. Is this fourth or fifth year, correct? Right?
Yeah, I think four. I'm not too sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Even it's hard for us to even, you know, compare him to anybody. I think for his draft class, definitely he's one of the main guys that's been able to, you know, have a staying power in the league. But just in terms of, he's our guy now. I mean, we ended up, you know, moving on from Tony Parker to DeJounte Murray, and we haven't had a constant rotation of guards the way some teams in the NBA have. I think the Spurs have been really lucky with that. Spurs fans really got to just sit back and relax on that one. It was a great pick. It was a great move. And it is turning out still well. He's still growing into the player that he can be. I think the Russell Westbrook comparison is even funny because, yeah, turnovers, not even comparable. And I'm sorry, I think DeJounte Murray's defense is better than Russell Westbrook's at times.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you see how Russ can almost check himself out of games. We never were talking about DeJounte Murray's attitude. That's one of the last things you hear about on the court is, you know, he's not really, you know, all in. He's all in on every play, every defensive time, every defensive possession. You know, he's slapping the floor like old school, you know. Yeah. I mean, you're not scoring on him. I love that. I love that kind of mentality.
Yeah, so I just looked it up real quick. It's his fourth year, so it cool. feels like he hasn't been there that
and even without an injury year too. Mm-hmm. So I mean, really, man, that's impressive.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I mean, like I said, I think the biggest issue, I mean, the two biggest things from what I've seen in terms of growth is, like I mentioned, the turnovers, really just doing a good job of there, and then not turning it over. And then also, like I mentioned, finishing at the rim, he's just gotten so much better at that. And that's an area where I didn't know if he was going to do that. I thought that like this season he would try to more expand his 3-point shot. I didn't think he'd actually do work on going to the rim. And so, yeah, right. so you know, he's just having a really good season so far through 15 games.
He's improving on things that you don't even need him to improve on. Like, that's incredible. Yeah. That's a really good attribute to have as a young player.
For sure. So again, Spurscast, I know it's only been two games. Again, coming off that Warriors loss, it does look horrible for the team. But again, when you sit back and you really look back, you do notice that this team has been very competitive in all of their games, pretty much except for three. And
absolutely.
I know that Warriors one was one of those three. So again, you know, they've had a chance where they could have be really good right now, or you know, they could be the opposite. But again, the one player who could, yeah, exactly. The one player who will be, you know, coming back as a core piece is going to be Derek White in the future. And you know, every day that the injury report comes out, I constantly constantly look to see, oh, wait, is he going to be questionable? Is he going to be probable? Because I think that time's coming up. You know, it's been about almost 2 or 3 weeks since Pop last said that he was going to, you know, start getting ready to come back here. So again, we just kind of watching Derek White should be coming back pretty soon here in the near future. So one last reminder, SpursCast listeners, make sure to visit ProjectSpurs.com. Steven Anderson's continue to provide analysis after each game. Also, our latest prospect watch by Benjamin Bornstein is over Kai Jones. So make sure you check out Ben's work, you know, as the draft, you know, is coming about next year, but Ben's obviously getting everybody prepared for that. Thanks to Aaron again for joining me here on the SpursCast, and also to Michael DeLeon for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.